idam, this, vishvam, universe, anvavishya, subsequently entering, sva, with your own, shakti bhi, energies, iyate, you are perceived, bahudha, manifold, brahman, O Supreme, Shruta, by hearing from scripture, Pratyaksha, and by direct perception, Gocharam, knowable. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Absolute Truth, with your personal energies, you create this universe and then enter into it. Thus, one can perceive you in many different forms by hearing from authorities and by direct experience. Purport. The grammatical agreement of Shruta Pratyaksha Gocharam in the neuter case with Atma Shrishtam Idam Vishvam indicates that the Supreme Lord, by entering His creation with His potencies, makes Himself perceivable within the universe. Throughout the Bhagavatam and other authorized Vedic literatures, we often find descriptions of the Lord's simultaneous supremacy over all other things and His identity with them. We cannot reasonably draw any other conclusion from Vedic literature than the one powerfully preached by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, that is, the Absolute Truth is greater than and distinct from everything, since He is omnipotent Creator and Controller of all, and simultaneously one with everything, since all that exists in the expansion of His own is the expansion of His own power. Throughout these chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, we also observe one of the unique, extraordinary features of this great work. Whether Krishna is sending His message to the gopis or accepting the prayers of Akrura, there is constant philosophical discussion. Throughout the Bhagavatam, the steady combination of fascinating pastimes with persistent spiritual philosophy is an extraordinary feature. We are allowed to glimpse and even to relish the spiritual emotions of the Lord and His liberated associates, and yet we are constantly reminded of their ontological position, lest we lapse into a cheap anthropomorphic vision. Thus, it is entirely in character with the work that Akrura, in his ecstasy, glorifies the Lord with precise philosophical prayers. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Namaha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Translation once again. Switch off the fan. O Supreme Absolute Truth, with your personal energies, you create this universe and then enter into it. Thus one can perceive you in many different forms by hearing from authorities and by direct perception. So I seek blessing of all the assembled devotees who are much more realized than me. So I can, with your blessings, I can speak Srimad Bhagavatam, discuss this verse. So here in the purport we see that in the second part of purport it is mentioned about, you know, the fascinating blend that is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam in of different stories as well as philosophical truths. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a very special transcendental narration of different activities of Lord's liberated associates and the Lord Himself, who is beyond this material world and even the perception of people in this material world. And as Srimad Bhagavatam itself states in the second verse of the first chapter, that this transcendental literature is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva in the maturity of his spiritual realization. And the second verse actually establishes the unique position of Srimad Bhagavatam when it says that completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Puran propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in the maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme God is established within his heart. So in this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam acknowledges that there are many scriptures which cater to the material motivations of those who approach those scriptures in terms of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. But Srimad Bhagavatam elevates its audience from this level of materialism to a transcendental level, where the highest truth, which is reality, is distinguished from illusion. And that is the highest welfare for all. Because no matter whatever achievements we may have in this world, they are ultimately all temporary. As, you know, we see when a person plays chess, so on the chessboard there are so many different, you know, what do we say then? You know, pawns. There are pawns, there is king, elephant, so many different kinds of, you know, these things that they use for playing, dices. and they all have different kinds of movements and powers, relative powers. But once the game is over, they all come in one box and they are all of no consequence. So similarly, no matter whatever achievement one may have in this material world, but at the end of life, everything is useless and is lost. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, it elevates a person who attentively hears the Srimad Bhagavatam from this material level to a different level, spiritual level. And Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by Srila Vyasadev in the maturity of his spiritual realization. So he had compiled so many Vedic literatures, which gave so many different kinds of benedictions for those who are aspiring for happiness, But he himself was not happy after compiling all these literatures. And then, by the mercy of his spiritual master, he gained that transcendental vision and maturity, and then he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in order to make Srimad Bhagavatam palatable and interesting, the lessons are given in the form of different stories which are historical. They are not some imagination or mythology as some Western Indologists they have propagated. And while narrating the different incidents that have happened in the lives of so many different characters, it brings out and reveals the transcendental absolute truth with succinct philosophical conclusions. So, many times Srila Prabhupada would say that any philosophy, if it is without religion, it is just mental speculation. And any religion without proper philosophy is at best sentimentalism, but at worst it is fanaticism. So we see that, of course, we are experiencing in the world today a lot of fanaticism and sentimentalism side by side. So but this Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a ultimate panacea to cure this duality that is there. And the Srimad Bhagavatam also has many prayers which are offered by different devotees to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see that all these prayers are distinct in themselves, because the person who is offering, based on his level in spiritual life, his realizations are brought forth. So the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto begins with the prayers of Kunti Devi, then followed by prayers of Bhishma Dev and so many other prayers. Here we see that just one chapter back, the Song of the Bee, it had prayers of the gopis and especially Srimati Radharani. And here we have the prayers of Akrura. And with this, two verses back, the prayers were, Akrura started offering prayers to both Krishna and Balram when they visit his residence in Mathura. So the chapter says that Krishna pleases his devotees. So to please his devotees in Mathura, he sufficiently pleased his devotees in Vrindavan, and then he had to leave Vrindavan to also take care of his devotees in Mathura. And here, now he starts visiting different devotees to give them pleasure. And Akrura, the prayers, the quality of prayers that we hear of Akrura, like this particular prayer, he is praying, "O Supreme Absolute Truth, with your personal energies you create this universe and then enter into it. Thus one can perceive you in many different forms, by hearing from authorities and by direct experience. So, if when Akrura was offering these prayers, he is described that he is in a vatsalya mood or in a parental affection, also mixed with dasya, servanthood. If while he is offering these prayers, Yashoda Devi happened to be besides him, then she would not believe whatever he is praying. That Krishna, he is the creator of this universe. Because the mood is different. The mood of Yashoda Devi, although Vatsalya, but it is in spontaneous affection towards the Lord, which is without any tinge of any awe and reverence. But here we see Akrura, he is in Vatsalya with worshipping the Lord in awe and reverence. And therefore he is offering these prayers that how Krishna has multifarious potencies by which he creates, then he enters into the creation, then he maintains the creation, and then at his own will he also dissolves the creation. In the purport, it is mentioned that we cannot reasonably draw any other conclusion from the Vedic literature than the one powerfully preached by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So, this particular prayer which Akrura he is offering, that the Lord, after creation, he is simultaneously present everywhere in the creation, in his impersonal feature. So, Lord can be perceived at many different levels. So, he is, as Srimad Bhagavatam itself states in the first canto, Vadanti tat tattvavidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagwan iti shabdyate. That the Lord can be perceived according to the level of the person who approaches the Lord as different things. So, in this verse, Akrura is praying to the Lord's impersonal feature. And the purport, it balances out the impersonal feature with the personal feature of the Lord. Lord is personally present in front of Akrura and he is praying to him for his impersonal feature. So, how to understand that? There seems to be a little duality. And in fact, there are many different spiritualists, transcendentalists, who have extreme views of the Lord. There are Mayavadis or Brahmavadis. They believe in only the impersonal feature of the Lord. On the other hand, there are Tattvavadis. They only believe that the Lord is personal. And there is difference between the Lord and his creation and everything. And we see that this kind of extremism leads to lot of discontent in the society. So this verbal duel which is going on constantly between impersonalists or Brahmavadis and Tattvavadis, it started so many years back, it still continues. So there is no end. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to balance out this extremism, he explains that the Lord, he is transcendental and he is not restricted by our limited intelligence and understanding. He can be simultaneously both. He can be present everywhere, yet he is a person standing in front of the devotee. And we see that this kind of balancing between two extreme views is very important. And we see that the extremism is seen not just in philosophical understanding, but these days extremism is in terms of economy, the different, you know, types of economy, capitalism and communism, socialism, in technology, medicine, And this extremist view is pervading everywhere. And when this extremist view comes in religious or spiritual life also, it creates a great havoc. There are some people or there are some sects who have such extremist view that this is the only way and everything else is useless. So this extremism is basically a sign of ignorance and willful neglect of other views and aspects of the reality. So, but really spiritual life is like a multi-lane highway. So, you know, in a highway there are many lanes and different lanes have the speed limits. Based on your type of vehicle and the capacity it has to run fast, you can choose the lane. But the spiritual, the way of transcendence is that it will reach the goal of the Lord, of the destination of achieving the Lord. But if this ignorance is there, that, you know, based on our level of understanding, we could choose any path, then there is extremism, then there will be accidents. If you ask a vehicle in lane of 80 miles per hour to also move at 20 miles, you can't expect, you know, anything but accident. So this kind of extremism, which is now going on in the world, and we can all see it's replete in the news everywhere, is very dangerous and is actually self-destructive. So, you know, the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, it actually helps to balance out conflicting views. And therefore, it is very, very essential and necessary to understand and propagate this scientific understanding of the nature of absolute truth, as is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. We see that there are many scriptures, as we mentioned earlier, that they please the followers and audience by a false sense of achievement by saying that you are the only person who is right in the world and everything who does not accept you is wrong. So in some sense, the scripture is trying to entertain the audience, trying to entertain the follower to just remain loyal to that particular scripture. But Srimad Bhagavatam does not restrict itself to just entertaining its audience. There are many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, we all will admit, especially in the fifth canto and sparsed over all the different cantos, that they strike at the very root of material existence and are very, very cutting. They cut the illusions that we have. And it scientifically and philosophically establishes the reality and removes ignorance expertly. And we see that this special blend, as the purport itself says, that whether Krishna is sending his message to the gopis or accepting the prayers of Akrura, there is constant philosophical discussion. Throughout the Bhagavatam, the steady combination of fascinating pastimes with persistent spiritual philosophy is an extraordinary feature. And then he says, we are allowed to glimpse and even to relish the spiritual emotions of the Lord and his liberated associates, and yet we are constantly reminded of their ontological position. Ontology basically means the study of the creation and existence, lest we lapse into a cheap anthropomorphic vision. So anthropomorphy means ascribing human behavior to God. So, although there are these stories which are presented, historical facts which are presented in form of story in Srimad Bhagavatam, but constantly there is a thread which runs, which reminds the audience that these are not mundane subject matters, but it is transcendental. It is beyond material perception. And that fact is established, you know, when Lord Krishna, he is just a small baby, hardly few days old, and he kills Putana. It is extraordinary. That is not possible in this world. The very appearance of the Lord is extraordinary. As he himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. And we will have the opportunity to hear more about the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord in few days by very elevated speakers, that is on Janmashtami. So you all are welcome for Janmashtami Bhagavatam classes. And amongst so many different stories that are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, one particular story by which many scriptures quote Srimad Bhagavatam as that scripture which has this story is the story of Vritrasur. And we see the story of Vritrasur earlier in his previous life, he was King Chitraketu, is very, very captivating and fascinating for a person to hear. But while a person goes through the narration and understands the life of Chitraketu and then Vritrasur, there are so many misconceptions which are there in the heart, they are also removed. So we see that Chitraketu Maharaj, the story comes in sixth canto, is a very opulent king practically of the entire earth. And whatever a person may aspire for in his life, in this material world, he has all that. In terms of opulence, he is the king, unfettered king of the entire earth. Unlimited wealth he has. He is beautiful, learned. There is no opposition that he has from any other kings who are under him. Here, if there is just one gunshot at the border and the whole country is fearful, what is going to happen? But he did not have any such kind of fear. And he had so much of enjoyment at his disposal. But with all these things, he was not happy. So Srimad Bhagavatam, while narrating this, tries to establish in the mind of the reader that no matter whatever you have in this world, they cannot ensure that you will be happy. So, a person who is just passing out of his college, he is thinking that if I get a job, I'll be happy. And then when he is having a job, then he is thinking, if I get this elevated position, I'll be happy. And everyone is striving, working so hard. In one of the purports of fifth canto, Prabhupada says that people are working so hard for getting cheap enjoyment, but they don't have the intelligence to understand that the very endeavor of their getting enjoyment is making them completely miserable. And he quotes a very relevant example of travel in the local trains of Mumbai. And, you know, we all will acknowledge the fact that yes, it is a perfect recipe of misery. So, he mentions that the kind of enjoyment that we all are searching is available to even animals. So, human life is not meant for that. And Chitraketu's life, we see, whatever anyone would aspire for, he had everything. But, just he did not have one small thing, which is, he did not have a son. There are so many couples who don't want children, but they want so many other things. And here is Chitraketu Maharaj, who has everything, but he wants a son. And that one thing which is lacking in his life is making him completely miserable. And that is the nature of the material world. As Prabhupada in the foreword, he mentions, human society at the present moment is not in the darkness of oblivion. It has made rapid progress in the fields of material comforts, education and economic development throughout the entire world. But there is a pinprick somewhere in the social body at large. And therefore, there are large-scale quarrels, even over less important issues. There is need of a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace, friendship and prosperity with a common cause. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. So we see that no matter whatever we have in this material world, if this one thing, that is re-spiritualization of the society, is lacking, it is like the pinprick. So pin, very small thing. You have a very nice sofa, or you may be in a big opulent hotel, Taj, Oberoi, whatever you may choose, and have wonderful dishes in front of you with wonderful servers and nice music, very good ambience, and the chair on you sit, it has a small pin somewhere. You can't enjoy anything. And the problem is the pin is not visible, so you can't even take it out. So that is what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that everyone is feeling that dissatisfaction, but they are not able to understand where is that dissatisfaction coming from. And that dissatisfaction is because of lack of God consciousness. And Srimad Bhagavatam can fill in that need by re-spiritualizing the society. So, Chitraketu Maharaj had this pinprick. The problem was not that he did not have a son. The problem was that he was too much absorbed in materialism. And then, Angira Rishi, he comes to Chitraketu Maharaj. And when Chitraketu Maharaj, he approaches Angira Rishi. So Angira, he could just by seeing Chitraketu, he could understand that he is not happy. And then he asked so many different questions. So through all those, Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching so many valuable lessons. And the one important thing that Angira Rishi, we can see that he is a very powerful spiritual authority and realized soul. He has the power to fulfill any benediction. So, this shows that when a person tries to advance in spiritual life, he has everything at his disposal. And not just for his satisfaction, but he can satisfy any other person. It is mentioned in one of the purports of Bhagavad Gita by Sripad Madhvacharya that there are many materialistic people who are chasing after material opulence, but they don't get it. Their pursuit is like trying to catch shadow. The more you try to catch your shadow, keeps on running away farther and farther. So the pursuit of materialistic people to enjoy, to get happiness in this world is like that. Trying to chase our own shadow. You can never catch it. Although it seems very near. But he says, on the other hand, those who take to always serving the lotus feet of the Lord, they are like the person who is turning away from the shadow, because shadow is formed because of light only. The other part of the light is shadow. So when a person turns towards the light and starts moving towards the light, shadow follows. So he says that the more a person tries to be happy in this material world, as Prahlad Maharaj himself says, he will be miserable. But if he stops the pursuit of happiness but concentrates on serving the Lord, then those things which he always aspired for will come without even being asked for. And so here Angira Rishi, he has that power that he can do anything, but he is not concerned with what power he has to fulfill material things or material happiness, but he is absorbed in spiritual realization. And Srimad Bhagavatam also shows that although the transcendentalist, he has so much power, but he is not affected by that power, does not become arrogant, but is always humble with the mood of serving to the living entities. And that was the mood in which Angira Rishi comes to Chitraketu Maharaj and wanting to give him that benediction which will be for ultimate good of Angira Rishi. He gives that benediction of having a child. And he also cautions him that he will bring happiness and sorrow. But because Chitraketu is so much absorbed in materialism, he does not understand the full purport of that statement. And then later when the son dies, and again, now his misery is 1,000 times than his previous misery of not having son. So again, you know, the material life, you know, even whatever little happiness is there, it has the potential to put us into greater misery. So as in one of the lectures His Holiness Radhanath Swami was speaking, that a person who is always successful, he becomes prisoner of his own success and he can't think of being a loser. And he becomes totally frustrated whenever there is a loss. So, you know, this is the situation that Chitraketu Maharaj has. And then again, Angira Rishi with Narad Muni, he comes. And then, when he sees that now he is ready to know beyond or to go beyond his material vision, that time he gives him the transcendental vision and gives him the meditation on Lord Sankarshan by chanting of his holy names. And that process, when followed perfectly, is so potent that within 1 week, Chitraketu Maharaj actually sees the Lord face to face. So again, the process is very potent. It depends on what level of intensity we have in applying ourselves to the process. And there is, the proof is there, right in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he gets enlightened and he sees the Lord, he is always associating with the Lord. But because you are still in material world, you can't expect, you know, that this material will always be rosy. So sometimes people have the misconception that if I worship the Lord and if I become a devotee, all my miseries will be over. But this story, it explains that that is not a fact. The miseries, when they come in the life of devotee, they come to intensify his love for the Lord. But if he does not have the consciousness, if he is not absorbed in the Lord, then that very misery takes him away from the Lord. So that is a test. And the Lord tests. And in the previous chapter, Lord Krishna actually mentions through Uddhav to the gopis that the reason why I left was not to put you in difficulty or to cause, you know, suffering towards to you, but it was to intensify your love for me. And that is the proper mood that a devotee has, that which is also explained by Lord Brahma in his prayers, that a devotee gladly accepts any tribulations and miseries that come in life as benediction of the Lord, and he always worships the Lord unmotivated. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he is going on his airplane, and then he sees Parvati and Lord Shiva, and he smiles and speaks something without any conclusion or for derision of Lord Shiva, but there is a misunderstanding. And the result of that misunderstanding is that he is cursed. Cursed to become what? From a person who is always associating with the Lord to a demon who is a man-eating demon. The worst of all demons. Not even meat-eater, man-eater. Like cannibal. Lowest amongst the species. But he accepted it very gladly. And Lord Shiva says that this is the nature of a devotee. That whether he is in heaven or hell, it does not matter to him, because he is absorbed in the Lord, thoughts of the Lord and service of the Lord. And then we hear the story that how, you know, Indra challenges Vritrasur, and there is a fight, and then finally, because Vritrasur is destined to be killed by Indra, he is being killed, which from apparent vision is defeat of Vritrasur. But from transcendental vision, it is the highest victory, because even in that apparent loss, he was always remembering the Lord, and his consciousness was fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. So Indra, by that fight, he won the kingdom in the material world, which is temporary and bound to be destroyed. And by defeat, Vritrasur gained the transcendental kingdom by getting the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. So, as we mentioned earlier, again and again, Srimad Bhagavatam, while going through all these stories, is driving the point that a person needs to be again get refocused on service of the Lord and be fixed always in God realization. And that was the purpose why Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, so that he could become free from the fear of material existence, which was the impending death in few days, and be free from all material attachments to position, designation and facilities, but always be fixed up in the service of the Lord. And service of the Lord is a matter of consciousness, it is not a matter of facilities. Because if a person has a, if the devotee has a intense desire to serve the Lord, then the Lord's energies, they automatically help that devotee to serve the Lord in the best possible manner. But if we are waiting for the right atmosphere so that I can start service, that is never going to happen. So that's why it is said that Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yatho Bhakti Radhokshaje Ahaituki Apratihata. So the highest form of religion is that which helps the worshipper serve the Lord in a mood which is unmotivated and uninterrupted. And if that is not the case, then that religion is just a cheating religion. So, the serving the Lord is not limited by the physical atmosphere or the physical state of the being, but it is based on the intense desire of the devotee. And therefore, it is uninterrupted, provided we have unmotivated intentions to serve the Lord. And when we have that kind of understanding and we have that humble attitude of always serving the Lord, following in the footsteps of His devotees and being humble servant of the servant, then that is the sure way of serving and pleasing the Lord. And that is the perfection of human form of life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, there is only 2 minutes. If there is any comment, someone can give.